Hello, this is Stephanie bringing you the May broadsheet from Elevate to elevate your mood, bringing colour and inspiration to you wherever you are. And we begin with David, who is talking about Dawn Chorus Day. And David has a poem by William Henley. The nightingale has a lyre of gold, the lark's is a clarion call, and the blackbird plays but a boxwood flute, but I love him best of all. For his song is all of the joy of life, and we in the mad spring weather, we too have listened till he sang our hearts and lips together. And David says, this time of year, Britain's dawn chorus is at its height. This natural concert starts early and extends until the sun has risen. Birdsong carries up to 20 times further during the cooler hours of morning, enabling male birdsong to reach more females. Entering into early summer, birds begin singing from 4 a.m. and a few even before this. So it's likely in early spring you might hear the beginnings of the dawn chorus, just as the long-eared owl and a barn or screech owl are ending what sounds like their closing conversations. Around this early quiet time, your ears would tune into the steady sound made by the breeze catching the tops of trees. Conifers and pines give a steady rushing sound like distant running water, whilst deciduous woodland is more restless like the sea. Early rising birds have an order to performing. First to start piping up in the chorus sequence are blackbirds, wrens and robins. Then come the wood pigeons, carrion crows, magpies and goldfinches, who in turn are followed by dunnocks, sparrows and blackcaps. Birdsong has two functions. Male birds sing to convince females that they will be a good mate to raise chicks with. The second function is a bit like a garden fence, a clear message to outsiders to keep out, as in springtime birds need sufficient territory to find food for their chicks. So a singing male bird, no matter how tuneful and eloquent, is effectively telling neighbours of the same species to keep away. So, do only male birds sing? Females do sing, but usually less often and more quietly, as females are staying hidden and are also typically less colourful and patterned, so it's much easier to miss their song. Use funny word phrases to identify bird song. We remember the yellowhammer song as a little bit of bread, no cheese, whilst wood pigeons say, still two cows, Taffy. But actually, I have known wood pigeons to say, my toe bleeds, Betty. And collared doves, of course, chant united, united, united. Wiltshire Wildlife Trust makes some great suggestions for remembering bird song. The song thrush sounds a bit like Vince, 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 Jennifer, 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 Hannah, 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 Hannah. The robin's melodious warbling song from both sexes is often written as twiddle, twiddle-dee, twiddle, twiddle, whilst the silvery blue tit song is a bright, cheery peep, 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 diddy, peep, diddy, diddy, diddy. Birders will often say a yellow warbler sings sweet, 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 I'm so sweet, sweet, sweet. And a great tit has a bright rocking backwards and forwards, often between two notes, teacher, 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 cheater, like a squeaky bicycle pump. More unsure is the coal tit song, something like itsy witsy teeny weeny. Singing their own names are the steady cuckoo, cuckoo, and the two note lilting, stumbling chiff chaff, chiff chaff. Among the early songbirds is the skylark, which sings in flight in open country, full of life, energy and enthusiasm. Starting their song at ground level, they work up into the sky, higher and higher until they're just a speck. If you'd like to discover more about songbirds and their dawn chorus online, you can have a look at www.discoverwildlife.com or go to www.wildlifetrusts.org or try www.community.org. rspb.org or www.gardenbirds.co.uk. And David has a photograph of a sparrow eating seeds on a bird table outside a window in the garden. Okay, our next page is written by me, Stephanie, and I write, May, named after Maya, goddess of springtime and growth, is such a pretty month and begins with celebrations all around the world as we delight in the season. On the 1st of May, young girls used to rush out and wash their faces in the May dew, which is said to have magical properties. Anyone who washes their face in it will have a beautiful complexion for the whole year. In France, sprigs of lily of the valley are given as tokens of good luck for the year ahead. As the birth flower for May, it means the return of happiness. On May Day, people used to cut down young trees and stick them in the ground in the village to dance around, in celebration of the end of winter and the start of the fine weather that would allow planting to begin. I wonder if you ever danced around a maypole, on the village green, or in the school playground? Or were you a May Queen or a Morris dancer? The tallest maypole is said to have been erected in London on the Strand in 1661. It stood over 143 feet high. It was felled in 1717 when it was used by Isaac Newton to support Huygens' new reflecting telescope. The expression, ne'er cast a clout till May be out. Lots of different opinions about this expression. Does it mean the end of the month of May? Or is it the end of the May blossom? Or is it the May blossom is blooming? Whatever, the weather is certainly unpredictable and warm clothes should not be packed away yet. And there's an excerpt from the poem May Snow by Annette Wynne. May is a blue and gold and green, not a trace of cloud is seen, yet I find along the way snowflakes falling all the day. A bank holiday at each end of the month, hawthorn blossom and cow parsley froth in the lanes, everything green and white and vibrant. Not surprising then that people would go out before sunrise to gather flowers and greenery to decorate their houses and villages, in the belief that the vegetation spirits would bring good fortune. You could write your own May poem. Sit and imagine the scent of the lily of the valley and May blossoms like snow in the air, and let your mind drift to all the things that May makes you think of. The sights, sounds, smells, colours, weather, flowers, food, people, activities, and write them as a list poem, which begins with May is. And I have three photographs, one a close-up of the May blossom, the hawthorn, one a close-up of the cow parsley in the lane, and another of a stile and hedge with a signpost pointing out into the fields, which is framed by cow parsley and blossoms. And our centre spread is written by Hannah Lefer from her off-grid small holding. And Hannah writes, at this time of year, particularly during a dry spring, it can be tempting to feel there is capacity to initiate new garden projects. The paths are clear, the hedges neatly trimmed, the weeds are fairly under control, and the weather is pleasant. But not so. There are many seedlings that need attention, unexpected frost to brace for, and soon the garden will explode into life. Hence, attention has turned to essential maintenance jobs, installing more rainwater harvesting tanks, off-grid maintenance, weeding the vegetable patch, and tending to new seedlings. The house is lined with seedling trays, and weather forecasting becomes vital, with fleeces coming out to protect seedlings on cold nights and water carefully rationed until further rainfall. Every year there are lost crops, as there is so much to stake at this point. This year we have lost all our apricots to the spring frosts, an apple tree fell in the storms, and we appear to have purchased a poor batch of seedling compost. We learn a little more each year and keep looking forward, preparing for all eventualities. Growing is a good lesson in acceptance, patience, and nature's gifts, as well as challenges. April and May are known to growers as the hungry gap, where preserves of fruit and tomatoes are drawn upon, alongside garlic, parsnips, celeriac, fresh salad, rhubarb, leeks, and purple sprouting broccoli. We take our annual foraging walks to collect wild garlic for pesto and enjoy the new shoots of fresh herbs in tea and recipes. The strawberry plants will soon give the first fruits and will be covered with netting and surrounded with straw to avoid animal nibbling. Our wildflower meadow shows great promise, and we are enjoying primroses, bluebells, the beginnings of red campions, and even the odd orchid. The meadow will continue to delight for many months to come. Meanwhile, above all, the birds have been disseminating their magnificent sounds through the bird waves. This year, we installed a bird box, bird table and bird bath, and in line with International Dawn Chorus Day, helped to organise a bird week in the village, where villagers noted bird sounds and sightings on blackbird boards. I find it soothing to know that the birds are still in action after such an unusual year for humanity. I hope you enjoy the photograph, says Hannah. And she has a photograph of her produce at this time of year, the table, with a lovely display of purple sprouting, bunches of rhubarb, spinach leaves, salad leaves, and a close-up of a wild purple orchid.